This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Today, we take a look at Feeding Umpqua. Sarah McGregor is the director. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, talk about overall, maybe at the front end, just explain what Feeding Umpqua is if someone doesn't know.
Well, we are the distribution center for all emergency food in Douglas County. What that means is that we receive food from state and federal resources, and then we distribute them out to all of the food pantries and congregate meal sites and some shelters here across the entire county.
So over the past year, how have things changed, or have they?
They really have, Kyle. We've seen some really large increases in our service statistics, so a lot more people are getting out and needing to make use of the pantry network and also getting hot meals across the county. So I was looking at some numbers, and for the month of November, we were up about 51% year over year number of people going out and needing food assistance.
Wow, and that is probably pretty close to being unprecedented, right?
It's a pretty large increase. I was starting to back that up and go back further and further, but I didn't get back far enough to tell you if it's never happened before. I know several times, you know, we've had like really large upticks in 1 month. Like at the beginning of the pandemic, we saw something really similar in 1 month happen, and then it backed off. But really what we've been seeing for the last year or so is some really consistent numbers, some really like our service levels had pretty much plateaued across 2021, and just like about the same amount of people always coming. And then as we enter 2022, it's just been a steady rise, and then with some sharp increases. And if I look back here, I can tell you, like looking back, I printed this little chart that I thought you might want to look at too, just like how much that trend has gone up from just over about 4,000 people coming in every month to now over 8,000 people coming for help every month.
What can you attribute that to?
So in large part, you know, that's really about two things. The end of a lot of the supportive services and federal influx of dollars for social services. So the extra SNAP benefits going away, extra meal support for schools, all of those things, you know, and all the extra money that came with all the other programs like housing and energy. And then the rise in and food costs, the rise of everything. Food is up over 11% with inflation, and just that is enough, really. Like, food is so hard when, because it is a variable cost for families. Like, you know, your mortgage or your rent's always the same, your utilities are going to vary, but like, you have to pay those or you're not going to have a home. And food is somewhere people can cut costs, but it's really hard to cut costs when the prices just keep going up so dramatically.
Well, and I mean, for the average person, and I notice this, you know, we tend to do small shopping trips, don't do the really big exhaustive things very often. But, you know, the four or five items that I used to walk out of the store with for 20 or 25 bucks at night now seem to be about 40 bucks sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it depends on what you get. And certain things have gotten up a lot more and some things not so much. But then you take that from a, you know, two-person household to what you're doing. And yeah, it would seem like the impact's got to be really hard.
It is. And it is hard for us as well. We've been purchasing a lot more food. So that's one of the ways we've kind of held emergency food stabilized in this state a little bit, is that Oregon Food Bank, along with all the regional food banks across the state, we've been purchasing food in ways that we never have historically purchased. And a lot of that is due to the state of Oregon. They've made a large investment in purchasing food to offset sort of the decline in donations and the decline in USDA foods. And we're facing that too. So I used to be able to get a lot more money for a dollar, or a lot more food for a dollar. And now I'm also experiencing inflation.
And there are, while some of the pandemic supports have ended, some are continuing but are about to end. Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate this getting even more of a challenge?
I do. I think with every program, as it kind of sunsets out, that was part of the pandemic supports, that we're going to see people needing more and more assistance. What's really interesting to me is that it looked like a lot of those supportive services kind of worked, that many people stopped needing a lot of, you know, emergency food assistance just dramatically decreased. And I think that that was really positive for a lot of us in this work, that we were thinking, oh, this works. SNAP is the frontline defense against hunger, and it's working. When you give people more money to make choices about food purchasing, then they're not going to need emergency food. And that really bared out, and we're kind of seeing that proved by the opposite happening when you start taking it away, that people are really coming back to us.
Now, have you seen issues with shortages of certain types of food?
I'm trying to think if there's anything specific. We've really, like I said, we really tried to offset that. But the things that I know that are so expensive to purchase is like eggs, although we've kind of worked really hard to keep eggs almost all year, eggs and also butter. Have you even seen how expensive butter is? That's sort of mind-blowing. Cereal, I haven't had hardly any cereals in the warehouse this year. We try to buy some, and we end up being able to get like 48 cases of cereal at a time. That's really very small when you're talking about distributing to 16 pantries.
So for funding, where do your funds come from?
So we have several different funding streams. We get some federal funding that is specifically earmarked for food purchasing. We also get some federal funding that helps to move USDA foods. So it's to actually move the food that we receive, that's USDA commodities. We get a large amount of money from fundraising, so that's why we do several fundraisers during the year to help support our operations. And then we get funding from the state of Oregon as well.
And what about the local component? You said food donations are down.
Donations are down. So we've been looking at year to year that, I was trying to remember the exact numbers. I just printed all this and then I left it on the printer, classically. So the numbers we've been seeing, last year we got about, I think it was maybe about 97,000 pounds of food locally. And this year, I think we've just maybe gotten over 60. So I think that is also because when you have to spend more money on groceries, it's harder to imagine spending a little bit extra to buy more for others.
Yeah, and that's kind of the general concept with the donated food that a lot of people have done over the years, is just buy a little bit extra along the way, mm-hmm. and they can absorb it. But now inflation kind of takes that away.
Right, it takes away that little bit extra that people have.
So over the course of a year, how much food comes in and goes out?
The last 2 years, we've been receiving and distributing about 1.5 million pounds of food. Typically before that, for the last 10 plus years, it was over 2 million pounds of food. So that's just to give you an idea of what some of these, the supply chain disruption first was the issue we were contending with, and now inflation. So those two things coupled together.
And I think one of the aspects, too, is that you've got a warehouse that is decent size, but it sounds like the food doesn't stick around too long.
It doesn't. We're really trying to move the food out as quickly as possible. We've been putting together some really large allocations for our pantries recently, really trying to address the fact that they're telling us that they're running out of food. So sometimes we'll hold food back to plan and prepare for coming months. And now we're sort of looking at being like, well, let's try to move as many products out as possible. So we'll have like up 30 plus different things that we're moving out to the network, which maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but that's 30 plus large pallets of food that we have to fit in our warehouse and work off of on a day-to-day basis.
So how many different pantries and places like that are there around the county that you're helping to supply?
So we supply food to 16 different emergency food pantries, and that includes our own mobile pantry, and then also to 6 meal/shelter sites.
And does that include like over in the Reedsport area too?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a pantry over there called Project Blessing that we partner with.
All right, we're going to talk more about Feeding Umpqua when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Riverside, Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. David Littlejohn later with True Wealth Radio. On tomorrow's program, we'll be talking about the Small Business Development Center at Umpqua Community College, and their new director, Christopher Glenn, will be in with us. Sarah McGregor here from Feeding Umpqua this afternoon, talking about the challenges that your organization is seeing this year. And I imagine as you interface with other people around the state, it's pretty similar.
It is. This is a pretty consistent issue that we faced around food supply disruption and also just inflation impacting donations.
So what are you hearing in other places? Are people having to get very creative to, you know, make all this work and not, you know, not have an inadequate supply of food?
Well, I think what has really helped, I mentioned earlier, is that the state of Oregon has put aside funding specifically for purchasing food, which is something that they never did before. This is all something that's kind of happened as a function of the pandemic. And that's been a huge help to the entire network. It's allowed food banks to be able to do local purchasing, to work with local businesses. And that's been really great for us, too, because local purchasing creates more relationships that will later lead to donations for the network. So I think that's been a really positive, creative thing, is that we all had to figure out, like, how do we buy food? Like, we literally bought nothing before the pandemic, and now we're spending, like, almost $100,000 a year in purchasing food. So that's a huge shift for us.
What about, like, in the summer with produce? What are you able to do there?
So we've been able to work with some farmers and producers. We were able to purchase things from them in previous years. Now we've created some really good donations relationships. Oregon Food Bank has also been offering some different sort of scholarship programs for BIPOC farms. And so we've been working with Riggs Family Gardens here, where they received basically like a grant to grow food just for the Emergency Food Network. So that's been one of those really cool things that has come out of a lot of this.
Now, you kind of ramped up at some point your mobile food truck. Talk about that and how that's working.
So right now, our mobile food pantry is going out to Days Creek, Diamond Lake, to Camas Valley, and to Elkton. Actually, with Diamond Lake, we're sort of on pause while it's high winter weather. But we're in partnership with the Glide Food Pantry, the Helping Hands of the SDA Church. And so we're working together to make sure that they still get food at this time. But we're still sending it out in the communities every single week. And the numbers on that have just really been going up too. And so it's been really wonderful to be able to continue to be out there, to be able to serve people and have that face-to-face client piece for our food bank, because that's not the work we do usually. We're definitely the distribution center. We have this huge warehouse. We partner with the pantries. We see them. And this is a really nice piece for staff of our program to be able to talk to clients, to understand better the things that they want. And that really helps inform the work that we do at the warehouse level. So we understand what clients are saying in communities and the kind of foods they're looking for. And it's just been really great to be able to offer that out in the community.
It seems like at some point in the past, you were talking about the idea of looking ahead to like days when you had the mobile food pantry out at a particular city, working with either another part of UCAN or some other organization to provide other services, kind of do that in tandem. Has that ended up happening?
Yeah, we did start going out to Diamond Lake, actually, with Aviva. So they planned their mobile health clinic to be out there on the same days as us. And actually, that was to help draw people to the clinic because there were already people coming and knew us and trusted us. And so it was sort of capitalizing on our relationships with people in the community. And they said that went really well. We've also done some partnerships with Head Start to try to get the word out and help people get more services out there. And that's something we're ramping up to do. We had a change in staff and kind of restructured a little. And we're recruiting for a program assistant right now, which will really help with some of the paperwork pieces that are happening with the outpost, and will free up some more time for coordinating more of those partnerships.
And in some of those rural areas, if people are in need, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of thought to realize that if you need a bunch of different services, but you're 40 miles, 50 miles out of Roseburg, you may also not be able to really afford the gas to get into Roseburg to get them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone gets it. I think it's just a matter of being able to pull it together.
And do you feel like there's a potential for these partnerships with the food pantry to increase?
Definitely. And that's our intention over the next couple months after we get that person in our program assistant position that'll really free up more of our coordination time to work with those other agencies and do more outreach around that.
So talking about staff, how is that going? How many staff do you have for Feeding Umpqua?
We currently have 5 staff members, so 4 that are working full-time and then 1 that's part-time, and then additionally, we will have a program assistant. I'm just putting that out there in case anyone's interested in a job, so I keep saying it. So we will have 6, but 5 presently.
And is that kind of historically where you've been for a while?
For a little bit. We kind of ramped up about 3 years ago and brought in extra support for the warehouse. So the warehouse team used to be about 1.5 full-time equivalents, and now we're at about 2.5. And that really happened with trade mitigation foods, which is what happened to offset some of the tariff things that were happening with China. And then the pandemic kind of solidified that we really needed to have more warehouse staffing.
As you look ahead to next year, maybe even down the road further, are there other ideas for things that you would like to do add additional services?
Absolutely. This last year, we sort of piloted a free produce market that we did with the Department of Human Services in their parking lot. And we did that once or twice a month for a couple of months. And it was very positively received. People really enjoyed us being out there and being able to give away some of that produce that we get in the summer, because sometimes it's just so much stuff that it's really hard to get it out through the system fast enough. And that just gave us another wonderful location to give out food. So next year, our plan is to start that much earlier. And we also are hoping to connect with the college to see if we might be able to do a produce distribution out there as well. So those are 2 things that we're really looking forward to. We're also working with some of our partners at UCAN to try and identify some ideal places that we might be able to serve some of the migrant and farm population.
And obviously with produce, unlike the rest of the food that you're distributing, you've really got kind of a window of, how long it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever we get in produce, we're just like, push the produce. In fact, right now we're doing what we're calling expediting some grapes to all of our partner agencies, because we really have too many cases of grapes. We probably have 100, and we just need them to get out of the warehouse, because that would be so tragic for them to go bad.
And what about looking down the road? Are you concerned about funding in the future?
Certainly. I know that a lot of the funding, like the state of Oregon has put in place for us to be able to purchase food, is done every year as part of the budget considerations. And so there's no guarantee that that will last. And that has made a huge difference in offsetting some of those drops in government and donated food. And there's just so much uncertainty when things are funded on a temporary basis. So we've been really trying to get out there and talk to people about the need and what's been going on so that we might increase, some of our donations. That way we can do more purchasing in perpetuity if that's necessary.
Well, and anytime you've got a new administration, a new governor, a lot of turnover in the legislature, mm-hmm. The budget process will get started here another month or so, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, and I think the food bank network across the state, we're all poised and ready to start having those conversations with legislators and make sure that they're really well informed about what's been happening with emergency food for the last couple of years and where we need to go.
If people want to find out more about Feeding Umpqua, where can they get information?
They can visit UCAN's website at ucancap.org.
Sarah McGregor from Feeding Umpqua, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.